So what does nanotechnology have to do with hurricanes, you know, and tsunamis? Mm-hmm. That just doesn't click with me at all. Well,
unless they're manipulating it, but that's another story.
But here's the basic thing that virtually everybody has missed, George, although I think you've covered it on your program earlier, about what's happening on our coastlines. And people need to understand this before they understand the link between with nanotechnology. And it's basically this. This is just the beginning. We have been migrating to the coastlines for the last 100 years in this country. People like to live near the coastlines. Mm-hmm. They like to live near the water. We have been building infrastructures here, and the result is that we have trillions of dollars of infrastructure built all around the coastlines. And as these infrastructures get larger and larger, the cost of losing them in these storms and these tsunamis becomes astronomical.
Huge. Not only in financial loss, but human loss.
Right. And the point is that we're not going to stop doing it. We are going to continue having these infrastructures on the coast. We're going to continue having these storms. And the big disconnect right now of our emergency management agencies is that someone hasn't figured out yet that we can't continue taking $100 billion hits every year on the economy. The problem right now is that this type of disaster recovery is basically regarded as a pork barrel opportunity. And so actually everyone says, oh, well, you know, these disasters are really not so bad for the economy because everyone reconstructs afterwards. Well, wait until the third $100 billion disaster happens.
True. But
and see what happens to the economy. So we can't go on this way. And one of the main problems with our emergency response systems in this country, not just in this country but around the world, is that we keep talking about saving lives, but we don't talk about saving property. And when you lose all of that property, you are losing a big hunk of economic activity, and you're taking some big hits, and we can't continue doing that anymore.
Yeah, you're right. We're not going to stop.
That's right. And so what we have to do is look at those infrastructures on our coastlines, and we have to say, number one, we're not going to move them, so we better not lose them. And if we're not going to lose them, then we better look at effective technological ways to protect them. Now, the main problem until now, and we saw this classic example in New Orleans, this perception that, well, you really can't spend all the money to do that because it's just too expensive. So what we'll do instead is we'll take our chances, and when a disaster comes up, we'll just clean up and, you know, we'll go on.
Yeah, we'll have cheaper levees, or we won't patch them or build them the way we think we should.
But as our infrastructure more and more is on the coastline, we won't be able to do that anymore. And we've just learned that lesson, hopefully, although I don't think that the government really has learned that lesson. But here's the thing. Nanotechnology has the capability to do something that we've never been able to do before. And that is to reconstruct these areas in a way that makes them immune to these kinds of onslaughts, and not just hurricanes, but also tsunamis. And when you connect to what I was talking about earlier in terms of nanotechnology, and one of the things we haven't talked about yet is this tremendous number of products that are now coming out that are based on nanotechnology. But I'll give you one example, and it's a really important example.
All right.
In the last 2 years, there have been major announcements by both the University of Missouri-Rolla and the University of Texas about super strong, super conductive nanomaterials that are much thinner, much more flexible, and much stronger than steel by weight. And the advantage of these materials, when they are produced en masse, is that they can help us build stronger, more resilient infrastructures that protect individual people, their individual property, their homes, their offices, not just big roads and big infrastructure projects, but can reconstruct them in a way that we may not even have to evacuate in the case of these large hurricanes if we use these materials properly. And I can't emphasize enough, the problem that we have right now is that there is a complete disconnect between the disaster management agencies in this country and the companies and the universities that are working on nanostructured materials. And this is a huge problem right now in this country because, as we'll talk about in a minute, we are using these nanostructured materials for what? For building better tanks, for putting bulletproof vests on our soldiers.
Which, by the way, don't appear to work.
Well, not yet, but they're coming.
Yeah.
And you've also got huge amounts of investment going into, for example, the computing industry and the biotech industry. And where is the disaster management agencies in this? They are nowhere to be seen. They don't even know what nanotechnology is. And that is part of the reason why we, for example, saw communication structures non-existent after Katrina, and a complete failure of even the most basic things, because they didn't harden any of their fundamental, for example, communications infrastructure. So the first thing that we have to do in order to get around that is to develop a grand coalition between the universities that are developing these materials and the companies that are bringing them to market and the disaster management agencies that are about to spend $40 billion on one of the largest reconstruction projects in American history. And if these guys don't pay attention to nanotechnology and the other convergence,
it's going to happen again.
It's going to happen again. And yet here we have in our hands today the materials that can prevent that from happening and can not only protect big infrastructures, and I want to emphasize this, can also protect the individual homeowner. Now, how can they do that? Well, for example, the aerogels that have been invented at the University of Missouri-Rolla and are being used, for example, for bulletproof materials can also be used for transparent materials like windows, making them resistant to being blown out and damaged by projectiles in a hurricane, much more so than the hurricane-resistant windows are today. The same with the walls, the roofing materials, and all of these things. So, number one, we can super strengthen our houses by bringing our construction industry up to date with these nanomaterials.
Couldn't you make a levee with this stuff?
Ah, glad you brought that up, because that's the point. And if you looked, for example, everyone has saw these pictures of this very narrow, weak concrete wall being washed over at the top of the levee. Well, if that wall of that thickness was constructed of this super strong nanomaterial that has just been invented by the University of Texas, I can tell you, you would have not had any flooding in New Orleans at all, because that material would have been 100 times stronger than that concrete fence that you saw that the Mississippi River just rolled right through on one side and the lake rolled through on the other. That simply would not have it happened. And again, I want to say that the key element here is cost, because the perception until now has been that it's too expensive to do these things. And what nanotechnology is giving us is the capacity to create super strong structures at super low price.